Numbers chapter 23, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's word, begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, Balak said unto him, Come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, Stand here by the burnt offering, by thy burnt offering, while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, Go again unto Balak, and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, What hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable, and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. And the Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, What hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift himself up as a young lion, and he shall not lie down until he eat of the prey, and drink of the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, Neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Balaam answered and said unto Balak, Told not I thee, saying, All that the Lord speaketh, that I must do? I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 21. Well, the Bible says, He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. And I want to preach on the shout of the king. Let's pray together. Father, please have your way tonight. We come to thee, Lord, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing our faults and our failures, and understanding, Lord, that as I stand to preach, I stand as a sinful man, Lord, that's been redeemed by the blood of Christ, called to preach. And Lord, I know I can't do that with my own ability. So I pray for thee tonight to empower me. And I pray that our hearts would be moved in a greater way to serve thee. Clear things from our mind, from our thoughts that would hinder us from being able to listen to what you have to say to us. And I pray, Lord, that we'd go away encouraged tonight by thy blessed word. We'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As we consider the shout of a king tonight, I want us to get a thought about what's going on, just to get a setting of what's going on. And I think we can appreciate what the Lord's doing here. We find the king of Moab, Balak, and his servants or his lords, they're climbing to the top of Mount Pisgah. If you were to go back and to study previous to where we began to read tonight. And they're accompanied by a person, a very strange man by the name of Balaam. And he's a prophet, if you will. And the king of Moab is looking to bring a curse on Israel. He's looking, if you will, with an evil eye. And he wants Balaam to pronounce a curse upon Israel and upon her tents in the plain that's down below. And you can see this crowd as they look down from the mountain, from Mount Pisgah. You can just imagine them up here as they look down in the valley and they see the children of Israel, and they can't even see all of them. God has blessed them and they've multiplied, no doubt about that. But they're looking down like a vulture would look down at its prey, thinking, I'm getting ready to see this people destroyed. Balak thought there's no doubt Balaam's going to be able to pronounce a curse upon God's children, the children of Israel. And so the king of Moab is looking to crush the children of Israel, if you will, to crush that nation that he fears so much. He has great fear of Israel because of what God's done with them. And they pay Balaam, if you will, to pronounce this curse, to cast down a curse on God's people. And then they offer upon seven altars, there's seven bullocks, and they're there, and they offer these bullocks and their rams upon these altars that they set up on Mount Pisgah. And then after they do this, if you go and read before, we find that Balaam goes and he gets a word from God. And when he goes and gets this word from God, Moses and Israel's down in the valley not knowing anything that's going on, apparently. And if they had known, I don't think there's anything they could have done about it. But they're guarded by one that's going to take care of them. Amen. There's somebody watching out for them. He's the Holy One whose eyes never slumber. He promised that he'd take care of them. And he had promised that it was through these people that the Messiah would come. And we know some years later the Messiah did come. We find Balaam, this prophet, comes back. And he comes back to Balak, and he doesn't say what Balak wants him to say, does he? He comes back and he says, the Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. So he says, God's there. God's presence is in the midst of his people. And there's a wall of fire about them. There's a glory in their midst. I was thinking about that as you read this passage of Scripture, realizing the protection of God upon the children of Israel. The Old Testament, we realize that was God's chosen people. But now we are God's chosen people. We're the church. We're not spiritual Israel. But there's many things that apply to us about the protection of God and the blessings of God. When God blessed the children of Israel, it's when the children of Israel were walking after the ways of God. And when God blesses the church, it's when the church is walking after the ways of God. If you don't want the blessings of God, just walk away from His will. If you don't want the blessings of God, don't do what He wants you to do with your life. If you don't care anything about the blessings of God, go ahead, live in sin. But I want to tell you something, you reap what you sow. So we begin to see here some very important things for us, because at this very present time, God does have a people that have been saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and it's the body of Christ, it's the church of the living God, and they're in this world. And they're in the midst of ravening wolves. They're in the midst of an enemy that's wanting to devour us, to destroy us. If the devil could tonight, he would wipe the church off the face of the earth. But I want you to know he can't do that. And we think about this as the devil is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom it may devour. I think about Balaam, somebody that had a certain understanding of the truth. And it's sad when you see people that know the truth to some degree, like Balaam did, but then they enter into a league with the adversary. And we're seeing that all around the world. There's people today that have an understanding of the truth, but they're lining up against the church. They're lining up against the Bible preaching and the Bible teaching churches. They have a little bit of an understanding of God. They're very religious. But dear friends, they don't like the truth, because the truth condemns even them. And so when we begin to think about this, they combine their evil and they use all possible means to destroy the gospel of the grace of God and the church that proclaims the truth. And when we look and we see the signs of the times and we realize all that's going on, I think sometimes our heart grows heavy, but at the same time, it gets a little bit lighter. I was reading today how that Russia's moving in to Venezuela. And they want to have a presence in that part of the world. And I began to think, isn't that interesting? Here's Moscow. Here's Russia. I was thinking, as China was talking just a few weeks ago about having a one-world economy with a one-world currency. And I thought, how interesting. I was thinking as I was watching and seeing all that's going on in the Middle East between Iran and Israel. And I thought, how interesting. But then I look at what's going on in America. And I see as humanists are letting their voice be heard and how one place where they've had a Christmas parade every year, instead of calling it a Christmas parade this year, somewhere like in the Bronx, New York, they call it a parade of light so as not to hurt somebody. And I begin to think, you know what's happening? Some things that are very interesting. It's all getting set up. Jesus is coming again. And there's people lurching on Mount Pisgah right now, looking down, thinking, we're going to devour the church. We're going to destroy these places where they're preaching this harsh religion that you have to put your faith in Jesus. People don't, they're not afraid of religion, but they're afraid of Christianity. People let religions go on and on and on. It's all right to be a religious person, but don't preach Christ and Him crucified. I want to tell you something. If somebody doesn't preach Christ and Him crucified, the world's going to hell. We have to keep going. So when we see all that's going on and we see the signs of the times and we see sin abounding and we see how that the love of many wax cold like the Bible says and how false spirits have gone out, I ask the question, what now? Do we get dismayed? Do we get defeated? Do we just get distracted? I think the answer has to be no. And the reason is tonight is because the same God that was in the midst of the children of Israel is the same God that's with His church tonight. That's with those that believe the truth and preach the truth and live the truth and give the truth. There's a couple of things we see here that should bring victory to our lives and should bring a shout from our heart and our soul to the Lord. Because first of all, we see His sure presence, don't we? The Bible says the Lord his God is with him. Isn't that a great thing? While we know that the Bible says God is in the highest heaven, and the psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. I want you to understand tonight that God is God, and he still has a presence among his people. He's always near to us, supplying our needs and guiding our steps and helping us in time. Not only do we see His sure presence, I want you to see His shouting cry. The Bible says, and the shout of the king is among them. This wasn't a king shouting. That's not what it was talking about. And this was familiar to the people of this day. Because when the king, as the commander, would come into a camp, then what would happen was the word would begin to pass through the camp. The king is here. The king is here. And they said that people would be laying in their sick beds, and they would rise up and they would say, the king is here. And people begin to get excited because their great chief, their great commander, was in the presence. People of all nations, when their king would come in, there was an excitement and there was an air about it, and they begin to say, the king is here. That's a little bit exciting, isn't it? When you begin to think about what that implies to us today, and what you begin to think about how that those that are going through the difficulties of life, when they realize that the presence of the King is there, there's an encouragement that'll bring you out of some of the lowest lows that your life could ever know. When we're reminded that He is among us, I want you to know it'll help us to have new courage. Can you imagine in the midst of a battle, it seemed like that many times, especially in the children of Israel, the children of Israel would be losing. It seemed like there was no hope. It seemed like all hope was gone. But here would come the King, and when the King would come in, the soldiers would rise up, the wounded would rise up, and they would begin to say, "We need to fight, for our King is here." I begin to think about that and how that ought to affect our lives. How that ought to do something. From every corner of this church, the cry needs to go out. King is among us. The King is here. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And very quickly tonight, I just want to give you three things that ought to be a result of this truth. Number one, it's a truth that assures the church. A truth that assures the church. The Bible says the Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. We think about that. The strength and the glory of the church is to have the presence of the Lord among us, isn't it? When we know that the Lord is here, there's a strength that's here. And if the church ever loses that, her strength's gone. There's a lot of churches that are built upon personalities. There's a lot of churches that are built upon certain preachers. There's a lot of churches that are built upon programs. But I want you to know, any church that's the right kind of church is not built upon a preacher or a personality or a program. It has to be built upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst, there is an assurance that comes to the church that'll give you strength, that'll give you encouragement, that'll give you courage, that'll give you boldness, that'll help you to do God's will, that'll help you to go and fight the battles. We have the promise. The Bible says that we're two or three are gathered together in His name, He'll be there. That's pretty neat, isn't it? You know, I can imagine here, they had no king in Israel at that time. Right? In this time when we're reading here in the book of Numbers, they had no king. Their first king was Saul. But Balaam said, it's like the king's in the camp. Yeah? They didn't have, well, what's he talking about? Because God was with them. And they didn't even know what was going on up on the hill. But they knew that the king was there. Not a king that you could see, but Almighty God was with them to carry them through whatever may come their way. And it didn't matter what Balaam did. God was going to take care of him. When there's two or three gathered together in His name, He's there. And there's a great assurance about that. It gives the church, it gives you the church to witness His presence in the services. You know what? Every time we come in, we ought to be noising it. The King is here. The Lord is here. I think sometimes we come to church out of duty and forget to realize what we're here for. If we'll come in knowing the Lord Jesus is going to meet with us in a special way today, every service will be a special service. There may not be everything that you think ought to happen, but if we come with that attitude, everything that needs to happen will happen. It's a truth that assures the church. Not only is it a truth that assures the church, when we think about the shout of a king, the second thing we see is it's a truth that aggravates the enemy. Just as sure as we start proclaiming the king is here, there's a king among us, the Lord is with us, the devil gets mad. The Bible says, teaches us this, the king of Moab, he was so upset, wasn't he, at the words that Balaam said. But then he got devious, if you will. He told the prophet, he said, well, if you can't curse them, just don't bless them. Now what he said in verse 25, look at it. Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. See, the devil and all his company, they'd like to destroy the church and they'd like to destroy God's people. But if it can't be destroyed, if it can't be done away with, it's not going to be because of the enemies. Because they'd swallow her up quick, wouldn't they? They'd just take her under. But old Balak found out something. You can't curse what God has blessed. And the Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Now I want you to understand something tonight. The devil's aggravated. He's aggravated a church that preaches and teaches the truth. So his goal tonight is not to take this church down, but his goal is to bring the world in. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't care about destroying the church. He just wants to get control of it. But when we come in and we start noising it abroad that the king is among us, I'm going to tell you something. The devil don't have a chance. Because when we start realizing that every time we come together that the Lord is there in our midst, and we come together that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth, that we might sing praises unto Him, that when every time a song is sung, it's not about singing to entertain the people, it's about singing to bring glory and honor unto Him, it'll make all the difference in the world. And the Balaks out there, they'll say, well, don't, you may not be able to curse them, but just don't bless them. But I like what Balaam said. Now, Balaam wasn't an honorable prophet. But God spoke to him. Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that must I do? I want to tell you something. Even the evil spirits have to obey what God says. Even the evil kings of the world have to obey the Lord. And it is the Lord that can change the heart of kings, the Bible says. May the Lord help us to see that. From the very highest court to the very lowest devil, they're doing everything they can to close the doors to God's house, to stop the mouth of the preacher. But when they can't do that, they'll just try to influence the church in a way that's not right with the Lord. So we see the truth that brings assurance to the church, a truth that aggravates the enemy, and then a truth, thirdly, that activates the gospel. When the Bible says the Lord God is with us and the shout of a king is among us, when we realize that, we're going to continue to tell the story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to be a gospel preaching church, aren't we? Things we say and do around here ought to point to Calvary. Every sermon may not be a gospel sermon, but there ought to be gospel in every sermon. We ought to be pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ and helping people to realize the only hope they have is the Lord. People that were looking to Wall Street the last few years as it was spiraling upward have found that their hope in Wall Street can come and go. People that were looking to their workplace for the last several years, many of them have found out hopes in their jobs can come and go. But people that's been looking steadily to the Lord, regardless of what the world has hurled at us, has found a peace that passes understanding. It doesn't mean everything's easy, but they found there's a truth that God said He would always take care of us, never leave us or forsake us. That activates the gospel. Because we can go out with confidence and with assurance, and we can tell people, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I want to tell you something. I put my hope, my faith, and my trust in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And regardless of come what may, I know that everything's going to be all right. I may lose everything I have in this world, but I'll never lose what I have in glory. I'm going to tell you something, dear friends. I'd rather be dirt poor and know Jesus as my Savior than to have all the world's goods and not know Him. I've told my kids I'd rather them have no education whatsoever from this world as long as they know Jesus Christ and trusted Him. We're going to do our best to educate them. We're trying. We're working at it. You know, I look sometimes and I think, how can I teach them? They're already smarter than me. But if there's one thing I can teach them that I know personally with great assurance, there's a God in heaven that loves them, sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for their sins. And if they'll put their faith in Him, regardless of what may come at them in this life, He'll take care of them. He'll provide for them. And when the world throws the things at us, and we find our faith strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, it activates us telling the world about what the Lord has done for us. I'm tired of trying to live this life on my own, aren't you? I'm tired of trying to live this life to please everybody and everything. If we'll learn it's about pleasing one, we'll be so much better off. I know I've told you this story numerous times. I like it, so I'll tell it again. About the boy that went in, young preacher went into the church. Church ran about 500 people. And he got up and he waxed eloquent and preached a great sermon. No doubt about it, the Lord used him in a mighty way and in a blessed way. And as he was standing at the door and the people were coming by, shaking his hand, you know, the usual comments. But there was one dear little old lady that came to him and took him by the hand and put that hand in his. And you know how they do, they just, preacher. Said, I really feel sorry for you. Got his attention. He said, why is that, ma'am? He said, well, here you are, a young preacher, and you've come into this church, and you're going to try to please all 500 of these people. He said, no, ma'am. I'm not so concerned about pleasing all 500 of these people. I'm just going to try to please one. And if I please that one, I know everything else will be all right. And dear friends, we have a gospel to give to the world. And not everybody's pleased to hear it, but it's not about pleasing everybody. It's about pleasing that one. Balaam went, and God said, I'm going to tell you something. You can try to curse them all you want to, but I'm telling you, you're going to have to bless them. And when Balak thought that he was going to bring Balaam along to curse him because Balaam was an evil prophet, God turned Balaam around and said, look, you're going to have to put a blessing upon them. Balak said, well, if you can't curse them, just don't bless them. Balak said, I got to do what God says do. I want to tell you something tonight. He looked down. He said, his God is with him, and there's a shout of a king among them. In other words, there's something bigger than I can touch or bigger than I can handle. There's something more than I can explain. There's a presence among them, and I can't do anything about it. And tonight, when we're living the way that we ought to be living as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the people of God, there is a presence among us, there is a power among us, and it does not matter what Satan may try to do, he can't do anything about it. Because as powerful and as mighty as Satan is, he don't hold anything to the Lord Jesus Christ. He already tried once to defeat him, but he didn't, did he? We're not going to quit preaching the gospel. We're not going to quit telling the old story. I was thinking some of the laws they've tried to pass the last few years to quiet the mouth of preachers preaching the truth. And I believe we'll find more of a battle of this in the coming years. Just the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, it's going to happen. There may come a day where they say churches have to give equal time to an atheist to come in and preach because of equality. I'm going to tell you something. I'll go to jail. I think I'd have a few people that go right there with me before we let something like that take place. We're going to have to stand up, and we're going to have to noise it abroad. And there's going to have to be the shout of a king. The shout of a king is not the king shouting. The shout of the king is the people declaring the king is in our midst. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We're encouraged tonight about what we've read and heard. And I pray that it's been a great blessing to us and a strengthening to us. Lord, I pray that we'll live consciously in your presence all of our days. I pray, Lord, that everywhere we go,